Welcome to Girls in Heels. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, with my co-host, Teresa Aprea and Nicole Napolitano. We're still deciding on what music we're going to do. I thought maybe this was good because we love it.
Woo!
It's Journey.
Yes.
It has the Sopranos aspect to it, so it's the Italian.
You know,
I love it. It's just awesome.
I can't sing, but I love it. Woo!
Yeah, turn that right off as soon as you start singing. Sorry.
Love it. I love Journey.
Did I blow your eardrums? Oh my gosh,
just
Cooper, I just thought of something else.
Song.
I love Journey. It's such a feel-good song.
Love it.
What'd you think of Teresa?
Girl, I was just thinking. You know what song I love too?
What?
Native New Yorker. I do, because I'm a city girl and I live in Jersey, so anything that has to do with New York, I love. It's like, yeah, you're no tramp, but you're no lady. Talking that street talk.
That song speaks to you.
It does. Oh, I can't.
I love Journey, though. No matter where
Thank you
are,
for playing
what
that,
party
Cooper.
You're at, everyone gets them up and starts dancing.
That's what I feel. I feel like who doesn't love Journey? It's like every generation, there's no place I've been that Journey doesn't come on, that everybody goes, and they all start
singing
and
along.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like the karaoke, so, anytime you're at a karaoke bar, you're always
everybody
going
wants
to
sing that.
Journey.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Okay, so we're getting closer to what music we might. So far, we haven't really settled on anything, but this week it's Journey.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for playing that for me, Cooper. Since last week, you decided just do whatever you want. Biatch.
So I've been dying to talk to you guys about this whole Ashley Madison thing. We didn't get a chance to discuss it last week, but I'm really fascinated by it because I can't believe the debate that it has brought. It's not just about hacking. It's also about cheating and the cheating website. And I mean, there's been so much going on. First, Nicole, I know that you have a strong opinion about it, so you tell me first what you think about the Ashley Madison, just the website in general and the fact that it was hacked.
First of all, who is this tramp, Ashley Madison, that would come up with this website? I mean, I cannot believe there's a website where men can go and have extramarital affairs.
Women can, too. There's women on the site, too, you know.
Mm. Women, too. I'm sorry. It just always goes back to men for some reason. It's allowed for women. No, I'm teasing.
Well, no, actually, so is it okay for women? Like, if you found out that one of your girlfriends was having an affair and you knew that maybe her marriage wasn't great and her husband was working all the time and not really respecting her, and you found out she was sleeping with, like, an old friend of hers from high school, let's say.
Okay, did we have to say that the husband wasn't respecting her? All right,
the marriage obviously isn't good.
It's
you don't sleep with someone else when you're having a good marriage, do you?
Some, I think women do. I think a lot of people cheat out there, but with
60%,
they say,
that's high,
of people cheat in a marriage. And
it's very disheartening.
First of all, men, sometimes, I hate to say it, but you almost like expect it. They're dirty dogs. But women, to me, there's no sanctity in sisterhood anymore. I mean, us women have to stick together. If it wasn't for these...
The kind of women that would have an affair.
You know what? If you're going to cheat, go with someone who's not married, okay? If you're unhappy in your marriage, go with someone. There's a lot of single men out there. Go screw around. Go do whatever you want. I'm not going to judge you.
When
there are women out there who are breaking up marriages, and when there are women out there who just don't give a shit about ruining a family life, I have a major problem with that. I really do.
But why do you think... Wait, Nicole, I'm kind of curious. So why do you think it's the woman that's ruining the family?
Because
she's not married to that wife. The man is. So why isn't it his problem? Why isn't it his responsibility? He's the one that's screwed around.
I think you're very sensitive to this issue.
Very sensitive.
Because you went through it.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind speaking
We've
about
all
it.
Been through it.
I'm
Are you
just
kidding
saying
me?
You went
Wait, excuse
through...
me. Who hasn't had a man cheat on them?
But her marriage
ever?
Was broken up over it. Nicole's marriage was broken
so
up over
me,
it.
So for me, if this woman
I'm just saying we're talking,
did not speak
if we're
to,
real?
At the time, my husband, when I was married, you know, 800 minutes a month, and didn't go to lunch, and didn't go to dinner.
Okay.
You know, forget the one-night stands. But that emotional relationship where these ladies are
where
like,
it's going to take a husband
lady,
away.
A Exactly.
Pull him
have
away.
That emotional tie, you know, the texting and the phone calls and this and that. And that's how it starts. So I am sensitive on this topic.
I think I agree
so
with Nicole.
It wasn't just a sexual
relationship. Emotional, yeah.
It was emotional.
That's the part that I agree with.
I think that's more hurtful, you know, and I hate to say it. This is such a touchy subject, but it's almost as though, you know, I'm so against cheating. I agree. You know, the sanctity of marriage, but yet.
The sanctity and sisterhood. Ladies got to stick together.
Mm.
And
right.
They just don't anymore. And it makes it very easy for the men now these days. That's all I'm saying.
But I think a lot of these websites are very sexual. I don't think a lot of them,
One you can do your, you know,
that's what
it's
I'm
all
saying.
Fantasies.
It's more about sex. It's more about sex. Where I think, I don't want to generalize, but I think men and women obviously are wired very differently.
Oh yeah,
you know,
no
I think
question.
Yes, and
hello,
I think a lot
external,
of for men,
internal.
You know, cheating. I think it's right. A lot of sex. Where I think from my perspective and from what I've seen, you know, at my age and hearing different stories and. Friends of mine or people that I know, I think for women it's more of an emotional thing. I think if a woman isn't getting sometimes what she needs, and there are some men that just don't get us. I think sometimes it's not when women cheat, it's not sometimes about the sex. Maybe for some it is and they just,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, they want to get off and have great sex. I don't know, so be it. But I think for women it's more like, you know, women, you know,
nurturing,
because we're such a strong species,
right?
But then yet we've come such a, you know, I know me as a woman,
so
we're so strong, and I think some men get like sometimes they feel inferior, but we still need to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just my opinion. You still want a man to take care of you, and sometimes you just want to. You want
but
that
Teresa,
protective.
Nicole just said something really, you said it under your breath, but I thought it was genius, the internal, external.
Yes.
You're right, because women, you know, the way we take things in, both physically and every way, is internal. So, of course, it's more emotional for us,
yes.
And for men, it's more physical.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was actually, you're quite brilliant over there.
Quite brilliant, yeah.
But here's the thing. So I think the point is a good point, because the woman was there, instead of your husband working out his emotional issues with you, she was making herself available. Instead
Absolutely.
Of him coming to you and saying, I'm having these thoughts, I'm having these feelings, let's work this out, she was like, don't bother with her, I'm here for you.
I'm here. I'll listen to you. Let me text you. How's
and
your
stroke
day going?
Him.
Exactly.
Now, what if he came to you and said, I want to have an open marriage? I want to stay married to you, but I want to have sex with other women. I just do.
Not a shot in hell.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. I have to be the one and only.
Right.
Yeah. I give 100%. So, you know, I was like an awesome wife. I did everything right. So there's no way that I would.
Be into an open
selfish.
Marriage.
And
no
a
way.
Lot of people do today.
A lot
I've been
of people
hearing
do.
So much, so many open marriages. I'm like, but why be married then? Why have that? Marriage to me is a commitment. It's not for everyone. It is not
right,
for everyone.
Just
and that's okay.
Married.
I'll tell you
but
exactly why.
But why get married?
I'll tell you
why?
Exactly why. We actually have a couple of friends who are in open marriages. And one of my girlfriends, I was shocked when I found out, but it makes perfect sense now. She and her husband both travel for work. And the rule they made is whatever you do on the road, because, I mean, anybody you're going to have sex with on the road somewhere, you're not going to, they don't live in your town. They're not going to, they're sort of like a don't ask, don't tell.
Mm.
And they have two kids and they have a good life and they make a lot of money. But when they travel, they do whatever they want to do. Now, here's what's interesting.
Wow.
She gets men all the time. He doesn't get women because here's why. And he's very good looking.
Why?
Because what woman, okay, think about it. A good looking guy is going to sit down with a single woman and say, I'm married, but I'm allowed to have an affair. What single woman is going to go, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, really.
I'm in.
Horny one?
You mean you'll never fall in love with me and this is going nowhere?
So I'm just
going
to get used for the night? She's got to be an asshole if she does do it.
Right.
Seriously.
Which is why he has trouble finding women. But she, when she goes out, you think men say no to her? I mean, she's
a good looking. Of course
not. She's good looking, but she's not as good looking a woman as he is a man. And she gets laid wherever she goes.
Wow.
Yeah. But it works for them. It just works for them because they're apart for so long over the course of the year. You know, they're together for certain periods, like they go on vacation together and that kind of thing. But when they travel, it's don't ask, don't tell.
Wow.
Then we have another couple that we're friends with.
As long as they use protection.
I was going to say.
Yes. Long.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that has to be a rule.
Could really.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
be
skanky. That's a rule. Right. That's a rule because you're not going to bring stuff back to Right.
Your bedroom.
And then we have another gross. We have another couple we're friends with, and the reason why they're in a quote unquote open marriage, it's not really an open marriage. It is because she claims to be bisexual and she's been with women and men, so he lets her bring women home. That's the rule.
Well, he must like that. A lot of men like that. Exactly. They enjoy that.
Exactly.
So that's more like a fantasy for him.
Right, right. So that's what they do. Like, she brings women home, and sometimes the women are into it. Sometimes women just want to be with her and whatever. And he's okay with either way. Like, he doesn't have to be there. It's whatever that the woman they've brought home is interested in. And that's how they do it.
You know what it is? I guess it works for some people. And I do know so many. I do know people, too, that, you know, have had open marriages, and you know who I'm talking about, Nicole, but I have seen it work for years, mm-hmm. and then I think it works for some, and I think it's very destructive for some. And then I've seen one couple that it was all fun in the beginning, and, you know, open marriages, and then it starts with, you know, other things such as, oh, okay, bring home another couple, and then who's going with who, and swinging, and then, oh, you know, bring a girl into the bedroom because the husband likes that, and, you know, and then, and now, and then before you know it, she's having somebody else that, okay, first he knew about it, then he didn't know about it, and now I see them just, they're a mess. They're talking about divorce now, and things just got, it was like a downward spiral.
Right.
They it think, was the demise
I think
of
there
the
are some couples that think they could handle it.
Right.
And then they really can't. It just, you know, it spirals out of control, and then it just, like, what else? And then it's like, it just gets out of control. And,
like,
and now they're miserable,
enough.
And it's never enough, and it's almost like this insatiable, this quenching of this desire that can't be filled after a while.
Right. I mean, see, the thing is, if you have a couple that has, they're unhealthy to begin with, and they think an open marriage is going to save them, it's almost like having a baby to save your marriage.
Yeah.
If you're not dealing with whatever your issues are, and if you're not going to be honest, I mean, our friends who have open marriages that it works and has been working for like 17 years, it works because they talk about it. They're open about it. You know, and if one person's uncomfortable, they're like, you know what? I don't. Next time you go there, you've been with that guy twice. That makes me uncomfortable. You can't be with him again. Like, that's, you're getting too close. And she's like, okay, fine. You're my priority. So they are completely open about it. And their marriage is their marriage, and their sex life is their sex life. Now, I'm somebody, when I met my boyfriend, I said to him, I'm monogamous.
Right.
I'm only interested in monogamy. It really turns me on to be with somebody that I know is only with me. Like, that's part of it. It's almost like a fetish I have.
I agree.
That if the guy I'm with is only with me, I'm so turned on by that. But if I know that he's screwing other women, I immediately don't want him to touch me. So it's almost like monogamy is my fetish. So I was clear with him about that, and he said, okay, that's fine with me. Because I think in a lot of heterosexual couples, monogamy is just assumed. No one has the conversation where they say, we have to be monogamous. They just assume that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
You know? And I didn't want that. I wanted him to know that that was really important to me.
To know. You notice, because I think, I don't. It, to me, it seems as though in any relationship, there's some sort of boundaries in any relationship with friends, with loved ones.
Like,
with,
what? Like, Teresa, do you have boundaries with Reno? Like, do you guys actually have, what kind of boundaries do you mean?
Well, I mean boundaries of respect.
Right.
Boundaries of loyalty, of love. And like you said, and I always tell my husband this, I'm a one-on-one kind of girl. I think, to me, any man is always going to fantasize. Most men, not all men, but I know men, they're just sexual human beings, as I am too, but just very different. Like, I think every man fantasizes, like, and I'll even hear my husband, oh my God, I had the best dream last night, and oh my God, you were like, oh my God, like there were, like, you know, two girls and you, and I'm like, oh dear God, I'm like, and he this dream was amazing to him, and I'm like, okay, well, and he just can't wait to, like, oh my God, like that, you know, can't wait to have sex this morning. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't turn me on. That's just me, you know? I am, and like you said, I am a one-on-one kind of girl. Like, that turns me on. Like, no, you know what? It's about me and you, and that's it. You know, other people don't turn me on. So I just think there are certain boundaries that need to, if that's the way you're going to roll, you know, if that's the way you're going to roll. So.
See, I'm okay. Like, if my boyfriend is watching, like, watching porn or looking at, like, ChatterBait,
oh, yeah,
I'm
that's
like,
fine.
I'm like, have at it. I don't care. You know?
Yeah. Porn is big. A lot of women like porn, too.
It's true.
I mean, it's, and some people need it to, you know, get them going and the whole bit. I mean, sometimes
I think porn is fine. I don't have a problem with it. I would have a problem like some of my friends in relationships, like, oh my God, my husband has to watch it all the time when we're having sex. No, I mean, if that's a little ridiculous, I think that's like, come on. But what works, it works. If, you know, if that's what tickles your fancy, I would.
But some people have addictive personalities, and once they get going with something, they can't stop.
Like, right, right.
And
that,
it just spirals. It gets out of control.
Right. If it's an addiction, or if it's just like, okay, babe, we're watching. Wow,
but that's the thing with
one.
Porn. I think a lot of people do get addicted.
I like the whole
dangerous then.
And then you get some skanky porn. And then I like the porn. Like, I kind of know if there's anything I like.
With the eyeglasses.
It's like,
and
oh,
the
I'm, yeah, like, I'm, you know, I'm the, right. I don't want to use a secretary one, Nicole. Like, oh, okay, I'll be, you know, you're the professor and I'll be the student and I need some extra tutoring. I think that's cute. I think role playing one-on-one is so much fun. You could do so much with your significant other.
I agree.
Like, yeah.
I mean, without getting too personal, but it's up to you. I mean.
Oh, I'm good. I'm
okay. So. Do you guys do that? I mean, do you role play? Does he come home like with costumes or anything?
Well, let's
see.
Oh,
I love costumes.
When I go into Teresa's closet, sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be going through her dresses and I'll be like, oh, this is a nurse. Oh, a firewoman. Oh, with this.
Spider girl.
Yeah, she has like all these like really
like
adorable ones.
School girl and nurses. I think that's fun. I think it's healthy. I happen to like costumes. I'm a little police officer. I'm a firefighter. I'm like, and I have really cute outfits.
I think if I had a better body, I'd be into that. I'm too.
You have a great body.
No, I'm too self-conscious because, like, when I was like teeny weeny, I used to wear whatever, and now I'm too self-conscious. I'm always like, turn the lights off, just do what do what you want.
No,
light a candle.
No, you do have to feel good about yourself. You have to feel sexy, no matter if it's with the lights off, whether it's with the lights on. As long as you feel sexy, then you're going to have an amazing night, and your partner will as well.
That's true,
but. As a woman, we have to empower other women. And let me tell you, you're sexy, baby. And you have to own your body and be sexy.
Thank you.
I see you, and you're a hottie.
Yes.
And my boyfriend's always like, he thinks I'm, whenever we're having sex, he'll stop and go, oh, my God, I want to photograph this. I'm like, no. No.
Oh, no, I hear
He's
you.
Like, come on, let me get a camera. I'm like, no.
But I think that's awesome how he's so into you. That's great. That has to make you feel awesome.
It does. I don't understand it because, you know, everyone has body issues. You know what I mean? A lot of women do. Maybe you guys don't, but I certainly do. And I have for a long time. So when I have a man like him who's like really turned on by me, I'm like, really? Look, I have like cellulite. He doesn't see it, or he sees it and doesn't care. Or he's like, I think your body's hot.
He wants to photograph you, so when you're not around, he has those pictures,
I know.
Cooper.
Yeah. I agree. And you know what?
I let him take one picture. I'm like, as long as my face is in it, you can have that one picture.
Yeah, that's like me too. I'm like, wait. No, the face.
Right, not the face.
Not the face.
And then I caught him like looking at it. I'm like, okay, well, you know, if he's looking at me instead of porn, that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I agree. But you know what? I think no matter what your body looks like, everybody has their own insecurities. No matter what it is. People could look at, you know, my sister and be like, oh my God, you know, you look so awesome. You look perfect. She's like, no, I still, everyone always has their insecurities or stuff they're not thrilled with. You know, it's human nature. No one's perfect.
I work on it though.
You work on it.
Yeah.
But my husband's the same way. He's like, oh, wait a second. Let me get my iPod. Let me photograph this. I'm like, photograph? Oh, wait. Let me take a video. I'm like, video? I had enough of cameras, babe. I had cameras in my face for 6 months straight. I'm done with cameras. I'm like, no.
Oh, my God. So is there a porn tape out there of you?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, my God. Hello, TMZ.
TMZ. Here we are. Oh, wait. That's the best. So my husband, he's like, wow, I love you. You look so great right now. I want to take a picture of you. I'm like, oh, dear God. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. I have puffy eyes. I'm like, all right. Cover the face. All of a sudden, a few days later, I'm like, all right, babe, just erase the pictures, you know, because I just don't trust these phones. He goes, oh, my gosh, wait, Teresa, come here. I'm just posting something. I'm posting something on Instagram. But wait a second. Oh, my God. Why is there a picture here of your boobs? And I go, you mother effer. I'm like, give me that phone right now. All of a sudden, I look at the camera. He forgot to erase it. But it almost went. He doesn't know anything about social media. He knows nothing. So when he was posting, the picture came up. I'm like, babe, thank God you just showed me.
Right.
No biggie, will erase it. But that's how things could happen.
Like, although, absolutely. I bet your boobs would look good in Kelvin, and then if you took the vignette down a little. Maybe, like, you know, just raise the brightness a little.
Raise the brightness. You're like, yeah. That would have been hysterical, though.
Yeah, boobs are okay.
Boobs, I don't have a problem Instagram. With boobs. It's everything else. Boobs are kind of like, they're all right. I don't have a problem with boobs. I mean, not that I want them out there for the world to see, but.
Do you have to worry about that stuff now? It must be weird, like, suddenly now you have to worry about paparazzi and TMZ and people caring about your lives and all that. I'm only bringing it up because I have a girlfriend who's married to he was a television star in the 90s, and he's a musician, and they're getting divorced, and it's all over TMZ, except it's all misinformation. Like, it's so funny because they say on there that she's a podiatrist, and I hadn't seen it yet, and she texted me. She was like, apparently I'm a podiatrist.
Really?
And I was like, what? And she sent me the link, and we were laughing our asses off because somebody with her same name happens to be a podiatrist who lives 5 miles from them.
Right.
Yeah. So they assumed it was her, and they didn't even bother to check to see if it was her or not.
That's the media. That's it's.
I owned Dairy Queen before we started filming, and it was all over the place.
You owned a Dairy Queen?
Yeah, Wendy Williams is like the new housewife, owns a few Dairy Queens, and it was...
Yeah. How did that come about?
It was in OK Magazine. Yeah, it was all over that. Nicole, one of the new Real Housewives of New Jersey.
She's the owner of Dairy Queens?
Dairy Queens. And
I'm like, is there somebody who owns a Dairy Queen with the last name Napolitano? Is that why?
I Googled it. I did not find one person with my name who owned Dairy Queen. I had no idea. All I know is I would take my kids in there every other day because we love ice cream.
Right.
So I was in Dairy Queen constantly, and they got out of it that I own a few Dairy Queens.
They should have given you a Dairy Queen
they
for that publicity.
Seriously.
You eat there enough. That should
now
be the rule.
Well, after the show, they should have given me a Dunkin' Donuts as well. So, if anyone watched The Real Housewives.
Like, if you eat and drink somewhere enough, they should just give you that place.
Absolutely.
That'd be kind of nice, really.
I constantly.
Yeah.
You with Belvedere. You should have had stock in Belvedere.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what you drank Belvedere on the show. I drank my Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, vodka and coffee.
What's Belvedere?
Vodka.
Belvedere vodka.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Vodka. Yes.
I'm an ex bartender, so that was disgusting that I didn't know what Belvedere. See, tell me how long it's been since I've been a bartender.
Well, that's good. Obviously, you don't drink a lot.
I
like
don't.
That. That's why you have very good skin. You look very good. Very young.
Stay out of the sun.
Stay out. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, Teresa, she likes a Belvedere on the show. Maybe if she didn't drink as much.
I would have really.
You would have used
had
some
discernment, really, which would come out of my mouth on the show. Gosh. Mm.
Unbelievable.
So now, I love that we were hanging out the other day and your son was texting you, speaking of food. I love that your son was texting you about, can I order in a pizza? Now, why does he have to ask you, Nicole? I don't understand. Like, why are you, if he wants pizza, can't he just order in a pizza?
Well, because I had a conversation with him that morning that when I went through my debit card that I just leave for him, I just totaled up what he spent on Wawa, pizza, little extra snacks. Uh-huh. Now, granted, I make this kid breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I make him like bacon and eggs and chocolate chip pancakes, and these kids, their snacks that I make them at home are filet mignons and fresh chicken cutlets. You know, I cook really good.
So there's food at your house all day long
constantly,
for them. All day long.
So the reason why he asked this time is because before I left in the morning, I said, let me just total up and show him what he spent from the 1st to the 13th. And on little snacks, and I'm talking about, I can't even believe he goes, like McDonald's. I was like, you actually go to McDonald's? Wawa? Pizza? $545. On my debit card. Yes, exactly.
In 13 days?
In 13 days. And I said, you know what? Seriously, I just want you to know your little like trips here and there. Oh, Mom, I'm going to get a snack at Wawa. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get the barbecue chicken sandwich. That's so delicious. I'm like, seriously? You think that's delicious? Oh. But yeah, so I had to make him be aware of what he was spending.
So he leaves your house after having scrambled eggs, chocolate chip pancakes, and bacon.
Ridiculous.
And then heads to the Wawa and gets like a chicken sandwich.
Especially after dinner, after I make them like beautiful like filet mignons and all like, you know, fried shrimp or grilled salmon, they will go to Wawa and say, oh, we're going to get a snack. Yeah.
Is he going through a growth spurt? Is that why
they
he's...
They are. I mean, 15 and 17. My 15-year-old's playing football, so he's constantly working out, you know, football training 3 hours a day. My older one's really, his lacrosse season had ended a couple months ago, but he's still like training every single day mm-hmm. for next season. So they are, they're definitely going through growth spurts. And I never believed, and people told me, wait till your boys, wait till they're teenagers. They're going to eat you out of house and home.
Yeah.
And believe me, they
do. They did.
Constantly. Constantly they did.
And my son would never eat that food. He's like Mr. Health Nut, never eat McDonald's, never eat Wawa.
Yes,
oh,
he does have like an 8-pack, yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Wait, so Teresa, what kind of food does your son eat? He eats healthy? That's great.
He eats so healthy, like, oh my gosh, organic grass-fed steak, yeah, organic gluten-free rice,
wow.
gluten-free pasta.
Is that his own idea? Did he decide to just...
He did. You know what? I actually took him to a nutritionist. I mean, having a teenager for a while, there's always, you know, skin issues. And mm-hmm. he was broken out for a while. And that's really hard on teenagers when everything is just all about what they look like
right.
and their face. And
he was getting self-conscious.
So he was,
about
and I think
it.
All teenagers get self-conscious. So I take him to a nutritionist, and he had this ALCAT test taken, and it shows it's a sensitivity test. Not exactly what you're allergic to, but a mm-hmm. sensitivity test, which causes, it shows sensitivity causes inflammation in the body. So whatever causes inflammation is obviously going to have, causes sicknesses or diseases, God forbid.
And it affects on your
and
face.
And it affects your skin.
Right. Skin.
You know, everything. So, yeah, so we hit this long list of stuff. So it showed the vegetables and fruits and, oh, from everything, what he was sensitive to. So he kind of stayed away from that. But what he did notice is it was wild. There were certain things that I was feeding him every day that were healthy but yet causing inflammation in his body. So he had to stay away from it for 6 months. And then you kind of, you know, wean it back into your diet again. But he eats really healthy.
But what a difference.
But what a difference.
Made in
I
his
mean,
skin.
Really? So it worked.
It really works.
Because, you know, I was taking him, like, to the dermatologist, and, you know, we were trying some, like, antibiotics, and from topical antibiotics to internal medicine, and nothing, it would work temporarily.
It was his diet the whole time.
It was his diet. Yes. And you know what? Because let's face it, everything comes from the inside.
Right.
You know, it really is true. What's going on inside is going to come out on the outside. Mm. So, yeah, so he looks really good. He eats a lot of organic stuff, really healthy, a lot of vegetables, avocados. He eats oatmeal every day, gluten-free oatmeal every morning, bananas, all kinds of good stuff.
That's like when I was 10, I did a report on salmonella in school and slaughterhouses and stuff.
Ooh.
I know. Like a 10-year-old, like, why do they make you do stuff like that? Like I should be writing about like kittens and bunnies.
That's...
Like why am I writing about salmonella and slaughterhouses?
Hello.
But you know what? It had an effect because I think now that I must have had a teacher who was vegan and wanted this mm-hmm. message to come. It's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, why would they make us write about this, right, in public school in Brooklyn? So I wrote this report, and it scared the shit out of me. And I went home, and I said, I'm never eating meat again. And my mom thought that was adorable. So she was like, okay, sweetie.
Right.
And I never did.
You didn't.
So wait, so how old were you, Cooper?
10.
10
you
years
were
old.
10.
I
and
haven't had meat since I'm 10 years old.
But that is amazing. Well, guess what? You would have stopped at 5 because our grandmother used to take us to the...
Oh, God. The slaughterhouse.
The slaughterhouse.
And we used to pick our chicken.
And we would
what?
Pick our chicken.
Yeah.
And
then they cut
the
his head off.
And cut the head off. And the feathers go all over the place.
No, but before that, we would see him run around for a while without his neck.
With that, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
and we thought this was normal.
You would have been a vegan at 5 if you grew up in our house.
It didn't stop us. It didn't stop you.
Nope. Chicken Parmesan tomorrow night.
But,
no, I'm teasing.
But Cooper, that's wild because at 10 years old, you were really, obviously a teacher wanted to send him, you know, like
a
teach
message.
You back then because you were way ahead of your times. So for a teacher to be going there back then, not too many people were vegan. Today, they show that in the public schools. They show this whole, they do a whole video course on it.
Oh, they do?
They do now. Huh. And they're showing, the slaughterhouses and what they're doing to the cows and the animals. Which is kind of shocking, but we never had that in school.
No way.
So, like, back then to see that at 10, when both of us were in school.
Yeah. It took me a while to start eating eggs again and things like that, but it was like I had to eat something. Because back then, because nobody was vegan and vegetarian, when you went out to a restaurant, the only vegetarian option was pasta and broccoli. So I had pasta and broccoli everywhere I went. It's like, where's my protein?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why I started eating eggs.
Right. Tofu wasn't big back then.
No. You know what it was like trying to find tofu in Brooklyn? You'd walk into a store and they'd be like, hey, do we have a guy here named Tofu? Is he dating you? Did he date your daughter? What's going on? Why are we mad at Tofu? No idea.
Oh,
no idea.
So you don't need anything with the mommy?
No, nothing with a mommy. I used to say nothing with eyes is how I used to phrase it.
Wow, so no fish either.
No, well, I just started eating fish recently because a doctor said to me, like, as you're aging, you need the fish oils. And I didn't want to, like, pop fish oils. And the only thing I'll eat is salmon.
Okay.
Like,
cool.
I'm on board with salmon. So technically I'm not a vegetarian anymore because I'll eat salmon. But that's it. I draw the line at salmon.
Okay, smart.
And you have to eat the right kind of salmon too, like where it comes from.
I'm gonna.
Yeah,
I'm
don't want to eat. Yeah. Like
I'm
the
gonna make you
salmon.
Taste like a really good piece of grass-fed beef. It's kind of good. Trust me. You may like it, and it's grass-fed. But then again, I know she has a problem with. But it's healthy.
It's not a moral issue. It's a health.
No, that's what I'm saying. A health thing, like the way they were slaughtered.
Wait till you see me in the winter with my fur coats. Like, you'll see.
Okay.
It's not a moral thing whatsoever.
No, but I have to tell you something. After speaking to a lot of people, too, that do the whole... A lot of people don't eat meat because there's some crazy stuff. Like, they say, like, oh, my gosh, the way the cow was slaughtered and then the way his energy was, you shouldn't... It's crazy,
I
swear.
Yeah. No, I
crazy things.
And but, then you eat it.
And then you eat it and then you... Yeah, like, a lot of people feel that way. I mean, obviously, we don't because we eat meat and it's like, all right, you know.
I think I did for a while.
Did
what?
You?
I did, like, years ago. I stopped eating meat for a while. I did.
For what reason?
Someone who I knew in Florida, the father had gotten mad cow disease.
Oh, well, Nicole,
from eating
that
meat,
makes perfect
so
sense.
That did it. And then I was really into this whole like exactly like what you eat in the whole bit. And then someone did tell me that like how the cow was slaughtered, and then you eat
inhumane.
That, and you put that in inhumane, and then you put that in your body, and just like all this, yeah.
You got over that real quick.
I got over it, though. I just missed the big juicy steak.
Well, here's your delivery guy. The hamburgers are here, you guys.
Yeah. Cheeseburger. Bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, bacon cheeseburger. And because I never made a religion out of it, I had never had a problem with people eating meat around me. I've never dated anybody who was vegan or vegetarian. My family isn't. I mean, they're French. Please, they eat things that should not be eaten. Like, the fact that the French. The fact that the French, like, looked at a snail and thought, yeah. Yum. Yeah. Let's eat that.
But you know what? Like, I don't mind the snails. I do not mind the snails. I mind like the pâtés and the what? Foie gras? Like what they do to that.
The little gooses,
yeah. Like huff up and
blowing him up.
Blowing him up. I mean, when you think about it, you French, come on. Now.
I know, we're horrible.
But escargot are big with Italians too. They eat snails too. Snails are big in Italy. They eat them.
I feel like I brought you that and I apologize.
Yeah.
Now, the Italians have their crazy things too, Easter time when they get the lamb.
What about tripe?
Tripe. Or even like the lamb when they, the goat's head, is it? That they get the head and the brains and they squeeze a lemon on it and they eat that. We have some really crazy, crazy things.
See, if I'm at a restaurant and they bring me the fish with the head and the whole thing, I can't have it. Like, I don't want to know where it comes from. I just bring it to me afterwards. Like, I can look at a hamburger, but don't show me a cow being slaughtered. Like, I can't handle anything.
I'm such a hypocrite, but I love animals. Like, cows and chickens and, like, all that. Like, I could have a farm, so how do I eat them?
Yet suddenly I'm very hungry. This is all getting me really hungry.
I know. We need to eat.
Is Reno at the restaurant? Where is he?
Let's have him. Well, let's go there and go have
let's
some.
Let's go to Pontevecchio.
Okay, let's go to Pontevecchio's and then we'll finish our podcast next. Let's go to Pontevecchio's now and then we'll come back next week with more Girls in Heels.
That sounds good. I love it. And then why don't we do like a podcast broadcast from like Pontevecchio's and we could like talk about some yummy food and wine, different wines.
This will be us from Pontevecchio's.
Yeah.
Sorry. Teresa, what do you think of her?
and you will enjoy Brooklyn.
We can either have
Angelo's on Mulberry Street, which is awesome. But to me, nothing is like Brooklyn because the characters there
are. We had so much fun the night we came to Pontevecchio's. That was one of the best nights my boyfriend and I have had in a long. You guys really did a good job at like showing us a good time. You fed us like crazy.
Thank you.
I mean, I haven't had a meal that good since then.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
We need to come back.
You guys are fun. You guys are fun. You have to come back.
Well, that's because they're drinkers. I always bring drinkers with me.
Fit right in.
Good food, good wine.
And you're good. You don't really drink, right?
I don't. Well, I started drinking wine just this year because I just thought, you know, I'm French and I want to be social. And I, you know, my problem with wine, here's what I heard. People said to me, if you start drinking wine, all the issues you have with wine will go away. The more you drink, the better you get at it. So I'm training myself. I have like a glass a night. Yeah.
Well, it's resveratrol. Wine is good for you. One glass is good.
Right.
Two is better. Three is fantastic.
Yeah, we start looking better and funnier as you drink.
Yeah, I have to get over the cravings. It's the only thing is like when I'm drinking, I really want sweets. So I think that also, like I hear that goes away. Like the more you drink, the more that starts to go away. Like every time I have wine, I'm like, where's the chocolate?
That's hysterical.
I know.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you crave things when you drink. Like, I stopped smoking, and it's hard for me now because when I have a drink, I sometimes really crave that cigarette.
Right.
So, and it's funny because, like, when I'm drinking wine,
it's not easy.
I crave. I mean,
you crave more wine, Teresa?
No.
What do you crave, Teresa?
No, to be honest, I've never heard craving sweets. I've heard craving sweets like with weed, which I don't smoke. I'm not a pot smoker, but I've heard that. People get like the munchies. For me, when I drink wine, because of the sweetness, I crave salt. Like I like the French, I enjoy, and like my wine and cheese. I love that balance. You know, don't you?
I do, but believe it or not, I love wine and chocolate as well.
Yeah,
there was
I don't
a place
know
what it in is. Florida, it was a wine bar, and they had these delicious different chocolates.
Really?
Lots of different dark chocolates, yeah, that they paired up with different wines. And it was
that's
really
genius.
It was really yummy. I loved going there. Yeah, they had like entertainment every weekend. It was
that
fun.
That is genius. Let's open up a place here, wine and chocolate.
Wine and chocolate.
Are
yeah,
kidding?
What's better
that's
than
a
that?
Great idea. Who wouldn't go to that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Wall
nice
women.
Like, yeah, that's entertainment it. In yeah. the corner. Yeah. Guitar player, singer. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
So right now we're going to head to Ponte Vecchio because I'm starving.
Let's go.
Okay.
Andiamo.
Thank you for listening to Girls in Heels. More next week.